This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, sitting in today for Lester Graham. Let's turn now to our regular guests, Ken Sikkema and Vicky Barnett, for a look at this past week's politics. Ken is Senior Policy Fellow with Public Sector Consultants, and he's former Republican Majority Leader in the State Senate. And Vicky is a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. So, Ken, we've got these dueling challenges from two Democratic candidates for governor, both Sri Tanadar and Abdul El-Sayed are each questioning each other's eligibility for the office. What is going on here?
Well, these kind of disputes are pretty typical, I think, of late. And, you know, I'm a Republican, but the Republican primary for governor has been nasty for some time. So I'm not sure I'm the one who ought to be pointing fingers here. But I think, you know, both of them probably think the other one takes votes from them if they're on the ballot. And, you know, bottom line is the other candidate, Senator Whitmer, former Senator Whitmer, is probably just sitting back enjoying all of it.
Right. She's sitting back just, you know, eating some popcorn, watching this,
I don't make too much of these disputes at this point, because I think early August, when you have the primary, people are going to be making their judgment based on other things. They're not going to be making their judgment, at least I don't think, on these kind of arguments or accusations. I just think they'll be making it on other things.
Right. That's true that there's sort of the politics of it all. But Vicky, there is an actual legal question that has not been answered yet in the case of El-Sayed's eligibility for governor. This legal question of whether he is a quote unquote qualified elector.
There could be a concern, but El-Sayed has been registered to vote in Michigan for years. He's lived in Michigan for years. He was born and raised here. He's certainly a Michigander in all aspects of the word. He went to New York for a few years, like most young people do when they leave college. They go somewhere else for a little while and then come back. I don't think that that should disqualify him from the ballot, although I am not an attorney. I am not an attorney with election law, so I don't know if he never terminated his registration in Michigan. I'm more concerned about the tenor and the tone of the discourse between the candidates than I am about some of these critical questions, which I understand the concern that if he's knocked off the ballot and he wins the primary, what do Democrats do for a candidate? But I think that you're right that Senator Gretchen Whitmer is sitting back and watching this play out. I don't think she's eating popcorn. I think she's concerned because this doesn't look good for the party.
I was going to say, I mean, is this not particularly what Democrats need right now, as many feel like they are, you know, riding high going into election 2018? We saw this sort of boil down to a similar fight or another fight at the Democratic convention between, you know, progressives and quote unquote the establishment.
I think there is a great concern that we need to bring all elements of the party together. And that's what many of us have been working toward. There's no need to break out into factions. We're all on the same team, and we need to work toward the same goal. So that's my concern. And these battles about knocking somebody off the ballot because they don't have the signatures, let the Secretary of State's office do their due diligence and count the signatures and make sure they're all valid.
And Ken, as a Republican, I think you've probably seen this movie before, right, between the Tea Party wing of the party and, again, the sort of quote-unquote establishment.
Well, yes. But going back to this particular issue of whether this Democratic candidate should be on the ballot or not, and I'm not a lawyer and I don't know about all the legal issues at stake, but historically and traditionally, the courts have been very reluctant to kind of insert themselves and remove people from the ballot. They tend to allow the election process to play out. And I'm just going to make a guess here, probably shouldn't, but I think this person stays on the ballot unless there's some extremely egregious violation of Michigan election law. Now, the larger issue I think you started talking about, and Vicky started talking about, is that, you know, the parties are very, very polarized. And it just seems to me that kind of the most alienated and frustrated voters on both sides have become extremely influential in party primary battles. And the difficulty for both sides then is how do you change direction for the general election when you have to attract more independent voters and some voters from the other side. I think that's a real problem shaping up in this election year, not just in Michigan, but across the country, really for both parties.
Okay, so let's take that narrative then and move over to the Republican Party. We had President Donald Trump in Washington Township, Michigan, over the weekend holding a rally. He gave a shout out to Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette. Bill Schuette is in this race against Brian Kelly, the current lieutenant governor. And we're seeing some strains also within these two candidates for governor, right, Ken?
Yes. Yes, very much so. Here's the challenge for Republicans is Trump has extremely high favorability ratings among conservative Republican primary voters. And so in the case of Bill Schuette, he's totally embraced Trump. Trump's embraced Bill Schuette. Bill Schuette understands that, and it's extremely helpful to him, I think, in a primary, Republican primary. But what happens the day after the primary should he be successful? How do you then change direction and attract voters that are don't look at Trump very favorably? I mean, the special elections around the country in the last several months have all pointed toward a anti-Trump Democratic wave, if you will. So how does a Bill Schuette, if he's successful, deal with that after the primary?
Vicky, as a Democrat, then looking at that, right, that Schuette, and I've been saying he's not even doubling down on Trump support, it's now like quadrupling down. I mean, is Schuette then, are you thinking in 2018, if there is this blue wave, sort of the candidate you would want your Democratic gubernatorial candidate to run against because he is so tied with Donald Trump, who overall is unpopular, again, not within the Republican Party, but overall, which is, you know, the general election?
Yes. Of course, you know, we want the weakest candidate that comes out of the Republican Party to run against. But don't forget, be careful what you wish for, because that weak candidate could end up winning. I mean, we have a President Trump that nobody ever expected would win the presidency. So one has to be, again, careful for what they wish for. I think that Ken is right, and what happens during a primary is all of these candidates right now are trying to attract either, if you're a Republican, the most conservative voters to vote for you in the primary, or if you're a Democrat, the most progressive voters to vote for you in the primary. And that's where the battle lines are being drawn, and that's why these candidates are going after each other so viscerally. The problem comes with the 40% or so voters that don't consider themselves conservative Republicans or liberal Democrats and consider themselves either middle of the roaders in the Republican or Democratic Party or independents. And how are you going to fight for them when a poll just showed that Donald Trump is highly unpopular with that group of voters? And transitioning from a very far right or far left position into the center has always been a challenge for candidates and will be more so after the bifurcation of parties during these primary elections.
Vicky Barnett is a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. And Ken Sikkema is a senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants, as well as a former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. Ken joined us by Skype. Hey, you two, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Zoe.
And if that is not enough politics for you, I know it's not enough for me. Why don't you come to Washington, D.C. with me? Zoe Clark, Michigan Radio. We are planning a trip to the nation's capital in October. You can find the details at the website michiganradio.org. We're going to have a couple of introductory events in 2 weeks. Hope to see you there.